Okay. I think this is in order. I don't know, I'll probably wander, but that's all right.
That's fine.
Okay. Let's see. We'll start from someplace. And this is, this picture is a tintype.
Which means what? It's like a daguerreotype?
Yeah, like I think that's what it is. Okay. It's a way of processing the film.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, these are the two women that we saw in the other picture.
Yep.
So this is my father's father.
Yeah.
Grandfather Robinson. And this is his wife. By God, they look like a couple of people in there, too.
Yeah.
And that these are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there are seven children. And this was the farmhouse.
Uh-huh.
I could look up their names. But anyway, this is Harold Robinson.
Yep.
And this was the youngest, whose name was Doris.
Uh-huh.
This is Aunt Josie. Even then, she was very pretty.
Uh-huh.
And I think she is the only one that I know of that developed Alzheimer's.
Huh.
And she's... I saw her, whenever there was a family reunion back in Vermont. How long ago was that? How long ago was it that you were back there?
In 1995.
Okay, so we'd probably been back at Jim and...
Yes, you...
Jan.
Uh-huh.
And David Hart, Jan and David Hart, and I were back for a reunion in Warren. And Josie came to the reunion. She's still alive, but she was... really out of it. Someone
uh-huh.
brought her.
Uh-huh.
This was my only uncle, male connected uncle in the Robinson family. This was Uncle George. He's died a long time ago. And this is, what did I say her name was? This is Mabel, I think. Mabel okay. and the oldest daughter, whose name I don't remember. This is the aunt that you met back east. This is, what's her name?
I can't remember
aunt,
her name. She's the sole survivor.
Yeah, but she's died.
She has died.
She
now.
Died a couple years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw her in December
oh, good.
Of 1994.
Ruth. Ruth. Ruth, yeah. Yes. And Josie's next to her, and Lois, baby Lois.
So I saw her when she was 98. No, she was 96, so she was 99 then.
Wow. She also still looked like that. And that looks a little bit like, you know who it looks like?
Like you.
Well,
or like Patty?
It looks like Nanny.
Huh. Yeah, well, see, I think of Nanny as having some of her face reminds me also, though, of you and then... Who else? Of Patty. Well, that serious eye
yeah,
look.
Yeah, that's right.
Very,
very serious. Yeah,
knitted brow a little bit.
Uh huh. Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, pensive.
Yeah, let's see who the others are, just to be fun. Mary
Lovina.
Lovina, that must be grandmother. George Harvey Robinson family, summer of 1902.
1900, yeah.
Or is it 7?
Athens. It looks like it might be a 2, because this is the
at
Vermont.
At their home in Barry, Vermont. And that's where I was born, in Barry.
Okay.
Mary Lavinia.
This is his wife. They're 2 years apart.
Yes, and I guess this is, we've lost this in here, huh?
Or was in it? Barry, Vermont. This is... home in Barry, Vermont, so that's that line. And then
oh, this is George Henry, yeah.
Yes.
And then Mary Lavinia was his wife.
October 29th, 1884.
Your great-great-grandmother. No, your great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother. I never... Well, I was held by her, but I didn't know her. It's a picture of her later, I think. Harold, 1886, born... Mabel, that's who it is. Mabel, and then,
George Henry Jr.
That's Uncle George.
Lois Ava.
I guess she died. I don't remember her. Where is she?
June. Is she the youngest one? Because it says January 29th, 1893, died June 20th, 1893, 6 months.
Okay, then there was one more born after her, named Doris.
Okay.
Yeah. But she looks like Nanny. What a family. You don't name the dog.
Here says Doris, who was born in Barry. All born in Warren, Vermont, except Doris, who was born in Barry.
But is Doris... Oh, Doris is here.
Doris, after Ruth... Are these shown in the way they go around in the circle? 7. 1, 2, 3, 8. 4. No, because that's all born in Warren, except for Doris, who was born in Barry.
Yeah, but Doris isn't listed here.
Doris...
Barrow. She is. Huh.
In 1905, this is interesting, 1905, these were all born earlier. So that is Doris, because Lois Ava, that was in 1893, but this picture was taken in 1902. So Lois Ava died almost 6 months after she was born.
Okay.
If this is in 1900, this must be 1907, because this says here 1905. So that would put... her at 2 years old, but she's older. She's not as old as two.
See, this is Grandpa Robinson's handwriting. I think he's a little, it's confusing.
Because this is the most recently born, and it looks like it says 1905. It looks like there's missing a one, but it looks like it says 905.
Yeah.
But that looks like a two. Unless this was written later.
Oh, I know. Maybe she was. Maybe she's not in this picture.
Yeah.
That's who it is. But who is this little girl? This must be Lois Avery. Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense, because if this was done in 1902 and that's 1893, that's 10 years. That's 9 years later. Summer of 1902 at their home.
Mary Lavinia.
Born 1884, 94. That would make her 18. This person would be 18? Or is this...
This is Mary Lavinia, I think.
Okay.
But that's not what we called her. She had another name.
We called her Mabel?
Mabel was this one. This is Aunt Mabel.
Okay. So Mabel was 1888 to 1902 would be 14 years.
Yeah,
that would be a girl of 14.
Right. Yeah.
George Henry, 1890, so that would be, he'd be 12 there.
It's about 12.
Lewis Ant. Now, this is 3 years after that, but died, so that person's not in this picture. Josie Edna, 1895, so that's 7 years later.
This is Josie here, yeah.
Okay, so she's 7. Ruth.
Yeah.
1897. So that's 5 years later. So there's Ruth.
Yeah.
At age 5. And Doris, this must be...
1905. But how could it be? Maybe that's a 7. That could be a 7.
It looks most like it's a 2, but it could be a 7. Here's the V of the Vermont, and it just comes up and ends there. That looks more like a 2.
But sometimes a 7 has that little thing on it, too.
Well, see, but here's a 7. Look at how pronounced it is.
Yeah.
That's nothing like this. Not with this extra squiggle.
Well, you know
what?
We're just going to have to figure out that Grandpa was not... He tried to remember and didn't get it all.
So, so this could be... If this is Doris Barrel... How old would you say that girl is? Six months?
Yeah, 6 months.
Okay,
seven,
so
eight
six
months.
Months. So if that's 1902, it could have been 1901 in March or something. But this is in the summer of 1902, so that would be 15 months later. That girl is not 15 months old yet.
No. Mm-mm. Everybody else looks about right. The other one I have having trouble with is Mary Lavinia, because... We didn't have an Aunt Mary.
Uh-huh.
And see, she was born
2 years before Harold.
Yeah, and she was the oldest, his older sister.
Mm-hmm. But
what was her name? Oh, gosh. And so his mother doesn't get in the picture.
She's not listed, unless she's... No, she... George Henry Robinson family. Huh. No, she's not listed here.
That was before feminism.
Wow. She was the bearer of all those children.
Yep. And look how that alert little dog is.
Yeah, there's something going on over on the side of the picture.
Wow. Anyway, so we've studied that a long time. And then we get to this probably.
The good old, the grave old senior.
This is when Harold Robinson went to Dartmouth.
Uh-huh.
They lived in Barrie, and I think they moved to Warren then.
Uh-huh.
And
what?
There wasn't a high school wherever it was that they were living. When he just went to grammar school. And his principal said he's got to go to high school.
Right.
So they found him a house to live in.
Uh-huh.
In this other town. And I don't remember where it was now.
It's in Grandpa's story, though. I remember reading about this.
He went there, and he got through that high school, and he worked his way, earned some money while he lived in that house. And I subsequently, in talking to him as he was a very old man, he said in that year that he lived in those, it was the principal, I believe, and it would be in Grandpa's story. He lived in the principal's house, and he worked for him to earn money, keep. And he thought that this young girl, and I think it was the principal's daughter, but I'm not sure of that, he was very attracted to her. And he told me as an old, when he was an old man just reminiscing, that she didn't want anything to do with him. He was just a hired hand. Mm-hmm. And that hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, his first rejection, I guess, because everybody else thought he was wonderful. Because the principal then said he got to go to college.
Right.
So since he'd come all that way from home, then he decided he would go to college.
Keep going.
And he went to Dartmouth.
This is graduating from Dartmouth.
I think so, yeah. He also worked his way through Dartmouth. But it looks as if. It looks as if it's somebody's house.
Yeah, it does. There's some wallpaper sort of coming off the edge, and this looks like some books on a table, some binds.
Yeah,
spines
right,
of
they
books.
Are, right. So we don't really know, but it's a grave old senior, and it probably is Dartmouth.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps maybe this isn't somebody's house at Dartmouth, at Hanover.
Uh-huh. After the ceremony or before,
yeah.
One of the two.
Yep.
And they took his portrait.
And then after he graduated from Dartmouth, and he had majored in, he had a photographic memory. He said he didn't know that he was bright, but he must have had a photographic memory, which he subsequently said he lost. So everybody else thought he was bright. He could just read a page and tell you what was on it and where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a photographic memory.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't have any of that. I don't know where he lost it, but he... It was a very curious mind he had. And was always curious and always wanted to learn. So a friend of his, who graduated from Dartmouth, I guess ahead of him, wrote to him and said, come on out to Hawaii, it's a great place. And that's where this guy had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so this farm boy from the state of Vermont, who just thought of himself as a hired hand, and then had gone off to college and found out he had a good mind and decided to go to Hawaii. So he went to Hawaii and he was going to teach in the boys' school there. He was going to teach mathematics. because his major was civil engineering. He loved math.
I didn't know that. In Hawaii,
On the boat going to Hawaii, he met a woman from Washington State, from Cheney, Washington. And her name was Mary Stambaugh. And she was going out to teach in Hawaii, too. And Mary Stambaugh had graduated from high school, and I think college, too, but I'm not sure about that. At least she graduated from high school. And after graduation, she became a teacher in a one-room school. And some of the boys in that one-room school, this was around Spokane, some of the boys in that school were bigger than she was, bigger than tougher, and she was afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only teacher. She had to plow in there. Maybe they were even older than she was.
Wow.
And she should have gotten the job of, must have been after college, should have gotten the job of the superintendent because she'd been there longer than anybody. She had the better education. But a man was made superintendent
mm-hmm.
of that district. So she, bless her heart, decided that she would leave and go to Hawaii. This opportunity came up.
What was the opportunity?
To go to Hawaii and teach.
From a friend, likewise, like her? Who knows how she heard about it? You don't remember that
part. I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah. But that they met on the boat. And also on the boat was Roland Cross, who became one of their very dear friends. He also was in Hawaii. And there were quite a gang of them. All young teachers going out on an adventure.
Wow.
And my mother, who was Mary Stambaugh, was 3 years older than Harold Robinson. But she sort of liked this guy, and they did a lot of things. Whole groups of them did a lot of things together. And I have in the camphor chest an old Hawaiian newspaper out of Honolulu telling about one of their adventures when they had gone up into the mountains. And Ruth Henry, one of their gang of teachers, had fallen down a cliff. And my father stayed with her overnight while the rest of the group went back to get help. And that's what the article is about.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell that story over and over. That was such a scary time, and he didn't know what was happening. And how wonderful it was to hear the Hawaiians' deep voices as they came back 24 hours or something or other later, and Ruth Henry was still alive, and they were able to put her onto a stretcher, an improvised stretcher, and carry her back. So anyway, my mother then contrived to teach a class right next to where Harold Robinson was teaching, right next to the classroom. And she had decided that that would make a nice match for her. She was a very shy woman, and she liked this guy. So he proposed to her, but he also had decided that because there was so much ferment going on in Asia at that time, and in Hawaii, this was in 1910, I think he went to Hawaii. They went to Hawaii on that boat. And there were revolutions were going on in China and in Japan and Korea. And they, in the, I think it was called Mill School that they both taught.
In Hawaii?
Yeah. The boys from the Asian country would come to class and they would be just jabbering and so excited about all the political things going on. And my father was very interested in this. And got excited about Asia or the Orient and decided he'd like to go there. After all, he'd come all this way out of his little town in Vermont. But he'd already proposed to my mother. And he decided he could go back to China as a teacher, but he was influenced by, I think, Harry Emerson Fosdick, who was a very powerful congressional minister at Union Theological Seminary in New York, who traveled around and talked in different churches, and he came to Hawaii, and my father was tremendously impressed by him. And so he went to Henry Emerson Fosdick, made an appointment, and said, asked him if he should go to Hawaii as a teacher, which he could do, or should he go as a minister, but he'd have to go back to school if he did that. And he was inspired by...
Go to Hawaii as a teacher or go to China as a teacher?
China. Okay. Go to China, yes. And the thing that's really interesting, how people's lives, they all hinge together in some funny way. When he was in Dartmouth years before, there had been a person that's like Billy Graham, whose name was Billy Sunday, and he was traveling around on all the college circuits, and he would have, he would put up a big tent and have revivals.
Mm-hmm.
And my father went, this was the thing to do. And Billy Sunday asked for all those who would, when they felt the hand of the Lord on them and felt the call, for them to all come down and sign a card. And it, all of my father's classmates did, so he knew he was safe, and he went down. He knew he would never receive the call. So he went down the aisle and signed it. Well, I'm sure that that made a difference to him.
Mm-hmm.
And his talking to him, to Harry Emerson Fosdick just seemed like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure the minister's name was, but Fosdick was one of the important preachers in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back to Union Seminary, and my mother continued to teach in Hawaii. And then he came back, and they were married in Spokane.
He was in Union Seminary for 2 years, a year?
A couple years, yeah.
And he was just stayed there for the whole time. They didn't go back and forth to Hawaii.
No, no, and they didn't get married until he was through with his theological training. Hmm. I don't have any of those letters, but that would have been interesting to have. So they were married August 8, 1916, in Spokane. Somebody's living room, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Might even be Patty and Kirk, who knows. Does it look like it? High ceiling.
High ceiling.
Some kind of decoration around a window or a door.
I think it's a window, yeah.
And they were married in 1916. They had a honeymoon on Spirit Lake. Notice the coon at the org. I think Grandpa sent that back to his family. And here is Grandma in her boating outfit.
Uh-huh.
In a rather low rowboat.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, they had a honeymoon there. And then, same year, they went back to, they went out to China.
In 1916, okay.
And in China, they lived in... American Board went out with a mission board called the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, ABCFM it's called. And that's very familiar to me. They were based in Boston.
Hmm.
And they were the same group that sent missionaries out to Hawaii in the 1800s, 1850s, and colonized Hawaii and robbed all the, put foreigners, Americans, into the pineapple plantations. And,
wow.
This is the way it works. So, this is in the American Board compound of the language school in Peking, in Beijing, what's now called Beijing. And this is the 1916 costume. And my mother was very unhappy. She was lonely. She was shy. There were a lot of other young missionaries. And I imagine she didn't know how to mix very well. And it must have been very hard for her, because my father was always so outgoing. She must have felt really left out of it, left out of the whole thing.
Because she was transplanted and she didn't have, in this new environment, anything that was familiar to her.
Nothing that was familiar to her. And then, anyway, I don't know whether she was joking or not, but she has always said, or I've heard her say several times, that before, when she was a... before she was married, she would always say to herself, the two things she would not ever marry would be a minister and a missionary. So she got both of them. And I don't know whether she made that up as a joke, but she said it very seriously. And I know it was hard for her to be a minister's wife. And it was very hard for her to go to China. It's not where she wanted to be. But she had this venturesome spirit. I mean, the fact that she pulled up, went by herself
to Hawaii.
To Hawaii. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And then in China, in a few years after they moved out of Beijing into Baodingfu, where I grew up, she received in the mail, belatedly, a Phi Beta Kappa key. And little Harold wanted to know what this package was for his mother. And Grandpa said, well, this is, your mother has a Phi Beta Kappa key. That's a wonderful thing. She was so successful in college that she got this wonderful grades, and so this is coming to her now. They're giving them to women. And little Harold said, well, don't you have one? And Grandpa said, no, I didn't. I never got one. Oh, said Harold, I'll get you one when I go to college. So these tales go on. So they moved out of...
One more question.
Yeah.
She left Washington because she was much better prepared to be the superintendent, but she didn't get that.
She was way ahead of herself in the feminist.
Right.
She knew that she was good.
Exactly.
Although she didn't think she deserved anything.
Because of her upbringing and the culture at the time.
Right.
But she had inside of her something that was indomitable, even though it was repressed or kicked around or whatever. And so the thing to Hawaii was somehow that you're not remembering or never knew of whatever it was that called her to Hawaii, like Harold's friend called him to Hawaii, was what was the lead for him to come. She had something that she found out about that drew her there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe there was an advertisement in the paper.
Yeah.
Maybe they were recruiting. It must have been recruiting young graduates from college about that time.
Okay.
So in Beijing, this American board compound with where they lived with other missionaries, young people just out of college, and grandpa out of graduate school. They were there because they needed to learn the Chinese language, and so all missionaries came to Beijing, and I think of different. Sent out by different mission boards, and they all, this was the particular congregational compound
mm-hmm.
that they lived in, but after I think they were there only a year, maybe more than a year, and then they were moved on to Baodingfu, and this is the compound where we lived in Baodingfu. I don't know exactly. Here are the houses. If there were three houses in this compound.
Is this one? This big giant one? Looks like a plantation.
Yeah, there are big houses built. I don't know what all these students are. Yeah. Are these people?
On the street. Or in a line.
None of these were our house. Was our house. Is this the same house? Oh, anyway, there were three foreign houses, and they all housed missionaries. Two of the houses, and they were big houses, housed families. And the third house was the single woman's house. And every missionary compound had a single woman's house. Here's our house. I can find it. This is the house. Is that the same as this? No, I don't think so.
Possibly. The window here looks very, it's not the same, but it has the same style as that window. It's almost exactly the same. And the top of this roof where these tiles are look very similar to what's going on at the very top up there.
But isn't that the truth?
It's from a different angle, and it's from a different, but, oh, you're right, the balcony... It's similar, at least in its architecture.
Well, yeah. Anyway, this is later, but this is the kind of house I grew up in,
uh-huh.
And they were all made out of gray brick. And someplace recently, I've seen I've talked to another missionary daughter who lives in Berkeley, and it was her father who was an architect who built a lot of these houses.
Yeah.
They're out of sort of German-style houses, not very American-style, but mm-hmm. very sturdy. They're still standing. Most of them now either are used by the communists who've come into the compounds and made them over for housing several families, or you know, use them as offices, as clinics, this sort of thing. They've stood up very well. They're very yeah. well built.
Yeah.
And we always, all of us had sleeping porches. We slept on a sleeping porch in the winter.
In the winter?
In the winter. I mean, in winter and summer. And the heating was out of huge, big radiators. I mean, the kind of radiators that you have in cold countries that Patty and Kirk have in their house.
Right.
And the furnace for downstairs. And this was the kind of, this was, this probably was still in Beijing. But here's my mother.
Yep.
And then here's, I don't recognize any of these foreigners, foreign women. If it was Bowding Fu, anyway, this was the kind of meeting that they would go to with Chinese women, and they would teach them about childcare and cleanliness, this sort of thing, to try and help them learn how to keep their children from dying so young. Because
mm-hmm.
it looks like a mother's, you know, Chinese woman, doesn't look like a church group. And I don't think my mother would have been involved in a church group at that point anyway. I don't see anybody with bound feet. But that's because we don't really see their feet.
Yeah.
This little girl might be having her feet bound. Anyway, that was the sort of, they occupied themselves with, in Bowding Fu, this looks like it might be, no, this is another group, but I guess that's my father.
Yeah, it looks like him.
And then this is Roland Cross that they met on the ship going out, and
mm-hmm.
Roland and his wife, Adele, and my folks were friends until the ends of their lives,
mm-hmm.
very close friends, very dear friends. And this is some Chinese group, probably going out to the country or in a school where the foreigners would come and mix and work with the Chinese and organizing things.
Mm-hmm.
This was my mother's calling card after we moved to Shandong Province. And it probably says, I don't know, it doesn't say Rao Tai Tai. That's probably is Rao. Our Chinese name was Rao. The last name was Rao. And she was, my father's name is Rao Bing Shun, like Robinson. And my oldest brother, Harold's name was Rao Kui Min, which has a meaning, and I don't know what it means.
So instead of Li Bai's Kui Min?
Yeah, Rao would be, you always say the surname first.
I see. Okay.
Rao Kui Min was Harold, oldest brother Harold. And Jim was Rao Kui De. Kui would be repeated
okay.
in each time. And I was not Rao Li Bai, I was Rao Kui Jun. And they're all biblical in some way.
Huh.
I mean, we could ask somebody who knows Chinese what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And this probably, it says Rao something something. This would be my mother's name, but I don't know what it was. But this is her calling card.
American Board Mission Tenxin. Tenxin?
Dexin, actually.
Dexin.
It's a strange way of spelling things. This would be a group of Chinese students.
Mm-hmm.
And both my father and mother taught in the high school wherever we lived. And this was Bowding Fu. And there would be, there were girl students too, but this is just a group of boy students. I don't know what they're, are they playing basketball?
It's something, it looks like there's something that's obscured here that they're throwing around or doing something with.
Could it
reaching
be a
forward
ball?
Or, yeah.
And certainly having, some of them are having a good time.
Yeah.
This little guy looks as if he's pretty lively. And this is typical kinds of walls.
Uh-huh.
Out of mud. With a
with
coating
a
of plaster, yeah, and
mm-hmm.
a brick top.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, because here's a basketball. Here's a basketball
hoop. Oh, yeah. Hoop right so there. It's so basketball.
There's some kind of basketball. Yeah. These guys are blocking or doing some kind of defense.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay.
But it's funny because these guys are standing right between them and the basket hoop.
They sure are, aren't they? Well, maybe they're just fooling around with the ball there.
Could be.
But look, he has a long gown on.
Yeah.
And most of them have trousers, but.
Uh-huh. This one looks older with the white shirt.
Oh, he might have been a teacher.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the sort of thing. And then along comes Baby Harold, born in I don't remember what year he was born. We could figure it out. I was born in 1923. Jim was born in 3 years before. 19, Harold was born in 1906? No.
He's a year older than Dad?
Dad? Oh, Jim.
My dad.
Let's see.
I thought they were a year
They went
apart.
To China in 1916. So if Harold was born in 1918, which is pretty likely.
January.
Yeah. And Jim was born 3 years later, would be 21 or 20. And I was born, because there's the Harold was born in January 1st, and Jim was born in October, and I was born in November. So you can figure out when Grandma Robinson was fertile. Just as you can figure out when I was fertile, because you guys are all lined up, too.
Oh, it's... Well, we were 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, and 3 years.
Yeah, but the months.
Right, March.
April.
April, May, June, July. So in the spring.
Yeah.
Or April, May, and then July.
Yeah, anyway. This is Harold and his mother, and this is Harold and his... He looks younger here. This must be in the hospital. This was taken at the hospital, yeah, when he was 2 weeks old. Now, see, they kept him that long. This is the nurse who took care of him. And his
mother there. Took care of him and his mother there.
Yeah, okay. And this is older.
Uh-huh.
But see, he still looks like Harold Robinson to me, Uncle Harold, way back. But the thing was that your grandmother, my mother, Mary Robinson, lived in Baoding Fu in a compound. Across the city of Baoding Fu, which had a wall around it, was a different mission compound. I think it was a Presbyterian mission compound. And that mission compound had the only hospital in it. So
she went there.
She went there. But this was her first child. She went 3 different nights in a rickshaw,
wow,
thinking that she was in labor.
Wow.
And then came back the next day. And the third day, finally, this little guy was born. Well, he looks a little tired.
2 weeks afterwards, he's still trying to catch up.
Yeah, trying to catch up. And his nurse looks very competent.
Yes, he does.
So that was, let's say it was 1918.
Okay.
We can look that up later. And here he is. He's happily, they have gotten a Western carriage for him. Doesn't he look like himself?
He sure does look like the man I know.
Yeah, exactly the same. Except he has a different hat. No longer a clown hat, just a little baby
hat. But in some ways, is the sadness as much in these eyes?
No. Babies, for the most part, aren't sad unless they're very badly treated.
Right.
And he was not badly treated.
Yeah.
Not at that point. This is then, it must have been when they went in the summer. This is not Baoding Fu. And everybody's wearing short sleeves and white pants.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Harold. And in those days, I don't remember it, but they went with other missionary couples to a place called Guanzaling in the mountains in the summer to get away from the heat in Baoding Fu. And here's my mother with this little boy.
There he is.
Little baby. So that, he
so
was
that must
born,
be 6 months later.
Yeah, six months, 7 months, right. And everybody looks pretty. I'm sure if I knew who these people were, they're probably still around here someplace, or their children are.
It, but if they're contemporaries of Harold, then
yeah, they
they'd
are.
Be over 100 now.
Yeah, they're not around, but their children are mm-hmm. around. And it's funny because I ran into the granddaughter of the man who ran this Beijing language school when my folks were there. She is here. She's about 25 or 6. Maybe she's a great-granddaughter. And I ran into her because she wanted, she lives up the church, a congregational church in Berkeley. And I had this couch that I needed to get rid of. And I called the church. And Sarah came over and took the couch and turned. She saw my Chinese things. She said, oh, you have some Chinese things. Turned out that she's the granddaughter of, and she's the only one in her family that has any interest at all in her grandfather. And she's an Asian studies major. Uh-huh. Speaks Chinese quite well.
Did you speak with her?
Oh, yeah. And I got to know her quite well.
But did you speak Chinese?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she speaks better than I do. Can say many more things. And I've been up to her apartment.
Taking the day something my birthday. The day before my birthday.
Yeah.
Is that Harold's
Grandpa,
writing?
That's Harold Robinson's writing. So that's Grandpa's birthday. And he was born February 20th or 21st. And Harold doesn't look too happy here.
Yeah. No, he's got that knitted brow again.
But he had a difficult time because he was a Tao Chi, the Xiao Haizi, which means he was a naughty little boy from the word go. He had more energy
than anyone could handle.
Anyone can handle. Certainly not my mother, who was so self-restricted.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't understand him, and I'm sure he's showing that in that picture.
Hmm.
My father's looking very pleased. He likes this little boy with all that energy.
Yeah.
And then comes along baby James. And Harold is looking very much as if he's supposed to be sitting there, and it seems to me she's holding
his hands.
Right, so he won't hit baby James. And this is, I remember this room, this is the living room and dining room. I remember that screen. And we had this kind of rattan furniture.
Uh-huh.
And baby James is getting bigger in Bao Ding Fu.
So is Harold.
And Harold, too.
Jim looks the same.
Yep. Here's a picture of Jim that my father had in his study.
This is Jim. Let's see. Not something your duplicates. The two family group are almost the same, as you will see.
Well, I guess he must have sent two pictures.
Uh-huh.
Grandpa was sending them to his
family.
Yeah. Showing them his offspring. This is Jim.
Leather goose tails.
And he looks like that, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
And poor Jim, he replaced the little king.
And the little king?
Well, the little king who was never king because his mother didn't know how to deal with him.
Uh-huh. And so because he occupied the position or took the role of replacing the little king, he got more than he bargained for.
Right. And I think these are actually before Jim was born, because Harold looks awfully young there. We always kept goats, and this goat, I don't think you can see it, but there were milk goats, there were uh-huh. female goats. And Harold is having a good time feeding the goat.
Yeah.
He must have been about a year and a half there. And I think this was in Guanzhaling, up in the mountains in the summertime.
Huh.
See if it says. No.
Yeah.
But these goats, I do remember them so well. And here's the birthday party. Had to honor the birthday parties.
Oh, they're actually named.
This is in my mother's handwriting now.
Yeah. Ralph Galt, Myron, Mayoni Holland.
Marjorie Hubbard. Looks like Marjorie Hubbard.
Okay. Edith Galt.
Gordon Clark. Douglas Clark. Mrs. Clark. Table boy. Table boy is the Chinese servant that waited on table. Bethan.
Kirkland.
This is Hubbard, too, somehow.
Hubbard.
And
Howard and Constance.
Constance. There's a table boy. Just peering through the glass into the... He's in the kitchen, and they have that little glass panel so they can see when... And here is Harold. But isn't Harold labeled? Oh, Harold, yes. Harold
and Constance, yeah.
This is Constance, but I don't know who Constance is. This was... I don't remember. They lived in Batingfu, but I don't know who they are. And does it say Galt? The Galts, yeah. I remember. Ralph Galt. Well, that might be he. And the other Galt